You and me. Brother HL.
In a sense, no one knows us the way we know ourselves. And contrary to what a lot of people think, it has always bothered me when I felt like people didn't like me. There was a time in my life when I wanted to make truth so palatable to everybody that everybody would like it. A dear friend of mine, a good many years ago when I was living here preaching in Bethel, told me one day, he said, "You need to make up your mind. If you want everybody to like you, you're in the wrong profession. Go do something else." You know the Bible well enough to know that not everybody wants the truth. Truth is a commodity that must be defended. As Jude said in Jude, verse 3, we need to contend earnestly for the faith. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If I do know my heart, I know this. A good many years ago, when a congregation was talking to me about going and preaching for them, one of the elders said, "The main reason I think you might be the man we want is because we have talked to two people who know you real well, and they both made the same comment." Well, I was interested to know what that comment was. And they both said, "We believe that these people said that they believe with all their heart that you want all of us to go to heaven." Jesus came into this world that man might know the forgiveness of sins and lay hold of eternal life. Sad will be the day when Jesus will turn to some and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The very thought of that to me is so deplorable, so sad, so hurtful, that there will be those who have rejected the way that leads to life. In our study on why will people die, why will we miss the truth? Today I'm going to bring us a lesson for your consideration that a lot of people will take exception with. A lot of people will say, "You're talking about things I believe that I don't want to change. Things that I almost place every hope I have in eternal life in these beliefs." But remember, it is not what I believe. It is not what you believe. It is not what any religious organization may believe, but it is what saith the Scriptures. "Search the Scriptures," Jesus said in John chapter 5, "because in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me, but by him." So I want us to think today. We are living in a world today, and I have said this and I want to make this very plain. Don't look at the world and wonder why the world is in a mess. Don't look at the world today and wonder why people are killing each other. Don't look at the world today and wonder why people are divided politically, socially, morally. Because the truth is that people are divided today because man has rejected the will of an almighty God. And where there is no God, then every man does what is right in his own eyes. Do we ever get caught in that trap? I don't know how many times I have covered this material. In Isaiah chapter 2, the Bible tells us in verses 2 and 3 that there's coming a day when the Lord will set up his house. He'll set it up in Jerusalem. Truth will come from there, and all nations will flow into it. In Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel gave the interpretation of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he said there would be four kingdoms. And in the days of the fourth kingdom, that kingdom we know to be the Roman Empire, he said the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning around verse 23, what a beautiful thought the writer gives us. If you're a Christian, he said, you have received a kingdom. An everlasting kingdom. Though God had shaken once more the heavens and the earth, all the powers of mankind, man cannot shake the eternal kingdom. What a beautiful thought. Peter says in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, when they came preaching repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, the church, the kingdom, became a reality. And on that day, about 3,000 souls were added unto it. And every day after, those that believed, those that obeyed the gospel, were added to the kingdom. Now, let me ask you, was it wrong for men like Paul and Peter and Stephen and a host of others to give their allegiance, their very lifeblood, their freedom, to defend the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood? Did he say he would purchase it in Matthew chapter 16? Did Paul say in Acts chapter 20, the price of it was his own blood? Let me ask you a question this morning. Whether you are still doing that or not, nearly all of us have driven automobiles. And I'm sure that we have paid different prices for those automobiles. But I don't care whether it was a bargain or the most expensive thing you've ever owned. There is one thing you all came to realize. Man made it, and it will break. So I ask you a question. What if the God of heaven had an automobile company and he built a car? And he promised that car would be like him, it would be perfect. It would never fail to start. No part on it would ever break. The day that you left this earth, it would look as new as it did the day you got it. How many of you would want? Oh, I want one of those. I might even give up my Ford for one of those. Riley might even give up that old Chevrolet for something that was perfect. But I suggest to you today that the trouble in the world today is that man does not want what God gave us that is perfect. Listen to me. We know that in the New Testament, once the church had been established, that God set out for it to be organized. And he ordained them elders in every church. But it wasn't long until an apostasy came. And men perverted the plan of God. So much did they pervert the plan of God that men began to see dioceses, a small group of men ruling over many churches. And so I ask you, God gave a very simple plan for the organization of the church. Is it okay that man has perverted that plan? Most people in the world today say, yes, that's okay. We accept that. We endorse that. Because that's what happens. There is a church today that has ordained that there is a man who has become God on earth. And people say, great. Presidents want to hear him. The world wants to hear him because he is ordained of God. But my Bible says, call no man father on this earth. For there is one is your father. Multitudes of religious groups today are named after men. But my Bible says there is one Lord. He's the one who died on the cross. And we should follow him. Today we see, and I remember a few years ago in Oklahoma when a group of preachers met and we were discussing what we could do to get along. And somebody said, well, we've got a lot of problems. And we had four women who were there that were preachers. And one man said, well, ladies, if we were to just do what the Bible says, we couldn't put y'all in pulpits. And all but one person beside myself said, well, times have changed. And this is okay. Just go down the list of things that God says in his word that man has changed, and people in religion say, that one's okay, that one's okay, this one's okay, one's as good as another. Just take your pick. It's kind of like going to the grocery store or to the store and picking out a laundry or detergent. We used to have a lot of advertisements. One cleaned in cold water. One was better for colors. One was better for allergies. Go look on the counter. Go look on the stores, the shelves, and see all the different brands. All claiming to do the same thing. And man today says it's the same in religion. Pick the one you like. But the Bible says he bought it with his own blood. He didn't ask me to pick. He didn't ask me to choose. He didn't even give me a choice. Let me ask you a question. And I want you to think seriously about this. Jesus came into this world. Was it worth Him leaving heaven to save you? Are you glad He came? Well, the Bible says He came with healing in His wings. And when He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, He did so to purchase His body, the church. And He declared that all who would obey His will will be added to His kingdom. Do you believe that Jesus coming and paying that price was worth it? As we have noticed in Philippians chapter 2, He tells us that when Jesus came to this earth, He came as an equal to the Father. But He poured that out. He gave it up. He was tempted in every point like as we. Jesus came to save you and me, to purchase the church with His life's blood at awful cost. The risk was that He would fail and never, ever, ever be able to go back to heaven. Don't tell me it doesn't make a difference. He gave up His equality with the Father. He shed His blood at Calvary's cross. And men to tell me today that the price He paid for His bride, the church, the kingdom of the Lord, really doesn't matter. Let's just all build one we like. I suggest to you this morning that if we do not understand, as I said last Sunday morning, the largest religious denomination in our world puts in its creed book this statement: there was a time when there was but one church. What a marvelous deduction. He came to build something special. He came to build a heavenly kingdom. Not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. So listen to what I'm about to say. If that kingdom, that church for which He died, is not worth the sweat, the tears, and the blood, and the very life that you and I have, it is not worth one single dime. And today, men are convinced that the church is a social organization. It's there for their pleasure. It is not there to serve God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, among Christians there is to be no division. We're to all believe the same thing, practice the same thing, and men today say, believe whatever you want to. If that is true, then don't miss this. I'm going to drive this home several times. If it's okay to take the Bible and say that any truth contained in it is not essential, then not one iota of the Bible is essential. You can't take part of it. You can't believe part of it. As we noticed this morning in Jude chapter 3, Paul said, contend for the faith. If unity and purity, truth and faith is not worth fighting for, it is not worth trying to practice at all. If it all doesn't matter, If there is any truth in the Bible that doesn't matter, then none of it matters. And if that is the case, then I would enjoin every person who has believed or practiced anything in the name of religion, close your Bible, shut up tent, and go home. Give it up. If we can accept that anything in the Bible is not true, then none of it is true. Belief in Jesus Christ today is no more important, of no more value, than accepting being a Muslim, a Buddhist, devil worship, paganism, because if one's as good as another and it doesn't matter, then we have taken the very heart and soul out of the Word of God. And one last thought. If we can take any truth in the Bible and declare that it is not essential, it is not important, then let's understand. We have no right, you or I or anyone else, to call anything wrong or anything sinful. People need to get over the idea of condemning drunkenness, fornication, adultery, hatred, incest, child abuse, rape, murder. And believe me, the world is headed in that direction because people who claim to believe the Bible sold out a long time ago. It is all or nothing. It is not choose these things to be important and these to be unimportant. We must accept God and His will in its entirety. And any time that you or I decide that we can set aside one truth in the Bible, we have decided that we are God and we know better than the Almighty. Today, there is but one hope for the world, one hope for our children, one hope for many souls, and that is to decide once and for all if I love Jesus, then I must determine with all that is in me that I will obey His every command. Let's stand together.